everybody, and welcome back to another week of the best little Horde House in Azeroth. Horde House for short. It's the show all about the World of Warcraft, but never too seriously. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'll be joining you for the next hour or so. Not joining us, sadly, this week, Extafer. I know it's a little weird, but Extafer is not here this week. I'll tell you a little more about why in a minute, but let me introduce who is going to be sitting in tonight. Since Extafer is not here, those are some pretty big shoes to fill, so I thought, you know what, let's invite some popular guests from the past episodes to help fill in for us tonight. So joining us tonight is the artist formerly known as Rice Princess, Irene.
Hi.
How are you, Irene?
Well, I'm all right. I like that you're kind of like construing it so that's like, oh, popular guests from past shows, and not, oh, last minute fill-in guests.
Yeah, oh, people I can just call at the drop of a hat and get on the show. Mm-hmm. No, well, you are insanely popular with fans. There's a new iTunes review that was in support, so hold on, let me say who else is here. Joining us as well, say hello to Parm.
Hi.
How you doing, Parm?
Pretty good. But I want to point out that Rice Princess is not popular. His first review was bad.
But Irene is popular.
No, she's not.
All right. You know what? It's not a popularity contest. It's a show about Warcraft. And let's face it, none of the popular kids play Warcraft. I'm kidding.
You know what's popular? True Blood.
What's this thing about True Blood? For the past like week, you guys haven't shut up in guild. No, maybe not week, but the past couple days, you guys haven't shut up in guild about True Blood. And I'm like, this must be one of those like Parm Irene jokes that I don't get, like usual.
Yeah, like, it only happened last night, so I think your sense of time is really skewed, Rob.
It's pretty effed up.
I'm just old.
Apparently. And I'll let Parmy explain the rest.
I watched one full episode of True Blood, just the first one, because a girl told me to.
Ah, you did it to impress a girl.
Not to impress a girl, to satisfy.
You know, there's other ways you can satisfy a girl.
Yes, I'm aware. Irene knows all of them, but she falls asleep sometimes.
Shut your fucking dirty mouth.
And you fell asleep during True Blood.
No, yeah. He did not. He was like enraptured by it. It's his new favorite show.
No, it sucks.
I know tons of people that love True Blood, but I'm too cheap for HBO, so I've never seen it. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about World of Warcraft. Actually, let's talk about Extafer. Sadly, Extafer is not here tonight, as I mentioned. You might remember last week, Extafer was talking about his eyes, and we were making jokes and jokes, and we were talking about how he must have got jizz in his eye, and he's a pirate, and da-da-da. Turns out the condition's actually, it was a little worse than we thought. So, yeah, he's still having some eye troubles. The good news is it's treatable. He found out more details about it this week, so hopefully he'll be back next week. All I know is that he had to go to like five different doctors until he finally figured out what it was. So we're, of course, hoping for a quick recovery for Extafer and that he gets his full vision back soon so he can get, you know, all that depth perception you need to play WoW. Right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk then a little bit to Parm and Irene. Now, we've already talked to you guys since you've been on the show before about the types of characters you play. And for those that didn't hear the episode, I want to say it was about 13 or 14 was the last time you guys were on. And we were talking a lot about PvP because we all do Arena together. At least we kind of, I don't want to make it sound like we're serious business about Arena, but I know we've like dabbled in it. And hey, we got a rating up above 1500, which was impressive for me because I'm not that great at PvP, but I've learned a lot from that whole experience. But I want to talk to you guys about kind of what you're doing in the game right now. Like, how goes Warcraft for you these days? Our guild that we're all in together, we haven't been raiding a lot. So what's kind of the goals? What are the things that you're trying to kind of accomplish in WoW right now when you log into your mains? And remind the listeners, too, if this is their first time listening, what your main is. So, Parm, what's going on kind of like with your main right now?
My main's still an 85 rogue, and I still mostly focus on PvP, but I was pretty busy last week and just recently in general, and my character's shoulders hurt from carrying you guys in threes, so I haven't been on in a while.
Is it that you're mad because we're not that great, or?
No, you guys are getting better.
That you've been trying to satisfy women by watching True Blood?
Yes. No, I had to go to MEPS for like 2 days to get processed for the Air Force and stuff, but
darn that real life.
Yeah, and I worked all weekend, so I just haven't had time.
You're making it sound like it's okay to have a life outside of WoW.
Work is not a life. Don't work, kids. Go to bed.
All right. Well, what do you think your goals are going to be when you get back? Are you going to still focus on PvP? Is there something you want to do with a new character or what?
No, I hate alts. I really hate alts. I did make a guy on our little Horde House guild, but that's it. I probably just keep doing Battlegrounds because I'm at a point where I have all the honor gear I could possibly want, but I still don't have all the mounts. And I bought a ram that I'm too big for.
I always find that hilarious when the toons are too big for the mount or whatever. I'm thinking in my mind of those ropes on the Vanessa Van Cleef fight and how hilarious a Boomkin looks on the ropes. It's really funny if you haven't seen it. So
yeah, like I'm a night elf riding the black war ram around and my back goes through the seat half the time. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Awesome. All right, Irene, what's your main and what are you doing in the game like currently?
Well, I have a hunter as a main. You guys should know that because I have two hunters. And I've just been doing PvP. Our guild hasn't really been raiding like too frequently. And I'm kind of not available during their raiding schedule. So sometimes I can't make it. But I've just been, I don't really have any goals. I'm kind of just playing her as people need me to. Otherwise, I just play on my alts. So.
Yeah, I do notice you tend to character hop a lot. Like, you're very different from Parm in that you have lots of alts. So, what do you get a lot of satisfaction from just doing the different... I always kind of assumed, at least my perception of the way you play WoW, is that you have, like, characters in different level brackets, and you really like to PvP in the different level brackets. At least that's what I thought.
That's not true at all, because they're actually all the same level. Right now, they're
really?
All in Outland. Yeah, it's stupid. No, I just wanted to try out the different classes because I've never really had a lot of experience with other classes because I've been playing Mud 2 Hunters.
You're talking like four characters in Outlands, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's sucky.
Is it one of those things where like you hate Outlands so much at this point that you just don't want to go any further?
I don't hate it. I like it better than Northrend, but it's just kind of like deja vu, like Groundhog Day. It's like, gosh, I just did this on my other tune. And so, I don't know. I'll get past it soon, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I have an 85 Holy Paladin, if folks forgot. That's my main, pretty much. And a lot of what I was doing in the game was working on my reputations with the Cataclysm factions, like Ramkahan and all those. I finally got exalted with the last one, which was Therizane this week. So I'm done being exalted with all the Cataclysm factions. So I've gotten all the purples I can from rep rewards and, you know, the enchants from Therizane and so forth. So I don't really know what's next for her other than, I guess, continuing my daily cooking and my daily fishing and trying to get at the raid experience as much as possible. But I think in the meantime, I'm focusing now on my priest a little more that's in the new Horde House guild. I rolled a Tauren priest into the guild, which we'll plug again in a minute. But she's all the way up now, I think, to about level 22, which I think I was about 6 a week ago. So, you know, I'm not grinding her as fast as some people grind their characters, but I've been stepping into dungeons and things like that, trying to learn how to heal as a priest and how it's different from as a paladin, because it's very different. Having the whole shield, the power barrier shield, really kind of changes the way I do things. So just trying to learn that, and because we have like no gold, no heirlooms, no nothing over on Drenden, you know, we really are starting from scratch. Been just trying to do a lot of money making too by the double professions. So I go and pick a lot of flowers as a Tauren, because you could pick flowers fast. So my goal is to get her more leveled up so I can welcome and help the new people to come into our guild.
Yeah, that's why I rolled a DK.
Yeah, you've been playing your DK a little bit too.
Oh my god, I love it. Like, it's so OP in PvP. Because, like, I rolled the DK so we could have, you know, someone to run people through dungeons. And I could learn how to tank while, you know, I'm running these people through dungeons. So that we can have, you know, a dedicated tank in the guild. But
which you totally did. You ran the last week's guest, Essex, and I through Shadowfang Keep. It was cool.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I did so great doing level 20 dungeon on my 60
DK.
You
gotta start somewhere.
It was impressive. But, no, I mean, I've been PvPing with him, and I don't know that I want to tank anymore, because I just kind of like PvPing, so, yeah.
Your name is awesome.
I agree.
And your Death Knight.
And what is the name of your Death Knight?
Death Ears.
Why'd you name it that?
Oh, Parmy can tell you.
No, don't put me on the spot.
Never mind.
I'm just going to chalk it up to inside joke. Okay.
No, it's pretty funny.
Okay.
Someone was talking to someone else when I was present, and they said that, I think it was a typo or something, but they said that they thought their concerns were falling on deaf ears instead of deaf. So she named her Death Knight Death Ears.
Nice.
Yeah.
And now Parmy is going to enroll one named True Blood.
I hate True Blood.
How many inside jokes do you think make it to people's characters' names?
Lots.
So many.
We had a running gag going the other night on the Guild on Drendon, and all I'm going to say is that now we have these Death Knights named R.I.P. Steve Jobs and R.I.P. Betty White. Just throwing it out there. Did you make R.I.P. Zsa Zsa yet?
Mm-mm.
Oh, you need to get on that. All right, anyhow. So yeah, my goals are probably mainly my priest. That's what I'm planning on working on next. So yeah, if you want to join the guild and level with myself and Irene and once in a great while, Parm plays on there too. We are the best little horde house, and it's on the Drendon horde side. More information about that is on our Twitter, and it's also on our Facebook, and will soon be on our website that I'm really hoping will launch within the next week. But if you want to join, just send a tell either to Babs Johnson or Death Ears, DeathEars. That's probably the character you play most over there, right, Irene?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You don't really play Rice Princess as much anymore.
Or like ever, no.
Okay, so those are your two best bets, is to add those. And we'll probably have to get another officer or two just for the sake of inviting people. And we'll let you know more about that. Again, the best way to get all the latest and greatest on what's going on with the guild and so forth is to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/hordehouse, or we're also available on Facebook, also listed under Hordehouse. And pretty soon there will be a website and all the details on that next week. Fingers crossed, I hope so. All right, so let's talk about, usually we like to kind of talk about our week in Azeroth, and I know we've kind of overlapped this a little bit because we've been talking about what we've been focusing on our mains, but I want to talk a little bit kind of like specifically any interesting stories and things that you did this week. Irene, why don't you start us off?
No, I don't have any.
None? You didn't just do a raid for the first time or anything?
Oh, I did a raid for the first time last night. And
did two raids.
Oh, that's true. Well, we did part of one raid. We didn't even down the first boss, so yeah. I mean, you know. But we did two raids, and I guess it was fun. Whatever.
Why don't you usually raid? Is it like a scheduling thing, or is it?
That's part of it. I'm also not even really interested in raiding. That kind of content doesn't really interest me. I'm more of like PvP centric. Mm-hmm. So.
Mm-hmm. So what,
she doesn't want to get screamed at by the raid leader.
Quit the boss, you cadger.
Our raid leader was like on their period last night. My gosh.
I know. They were being such a shitbag.
Maybe your raid leader was very irritated at some of the things that were going on.
All I did
like
was
useless wipes.
All I did was show you guys the boss's ass, and you started screaming.
No, I didn't start screaming until the raid wiped, just so you know, when the boss pulled.
I didn't
pulled.
Do that, though.
I know, but I'm just saying. Anyhow.
Awkward.
I love it when drama carries over onto the show. All right, so fine, then. Rice Princess has basically been sitting there twiddling her thumbs all week on WoW, and she sat in a raid once. Parm, what have you been up to?
I haven't played a lot, but when I did play, I did a little bit of twos, and it's not going so well because I'm playing with my real-life friend, and he only has 1,400 resilience, and he's a hunter, so he's always the kill target, and he dies in, like, 30 seconds even if I peel off him, and it's just really annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, he disconnected once before we went into a match, and I went in by myself, and my matchmaking value was like 400 points higher than when he was actually in with me.
Aww.
It was really funny. Like, we kept losing, and our matchmaking value would be like 1,500, and then I lost all by myself against two people, and it was like 1,840 something.
Huh. That's got to be great for the self-esteem of your 2v2 partner. That
he doesn't listen to this show.
So okay, that's good.
We can talk.
Well, he smells like feet, and I don't like him.
Oh, he gave Irene a nickname.
Really? What's the nickname?
Bush Cannon.
Why?
Because you remember how we defend mines in Wrathy Basin, right?
Of course. That's the strategy to win. You always just defend mines. It's the only node you need.
Okay, well, certain hunters like to stand in the bush in camouflage because it makes them harder to see because they're in a bush. So I guess a bunch of horde came to the mines or whatever, and Fried was there and Irene was there, and Irene was in the bush, and they didn't notice her, so the bush just started firing bullets at people and killing them.
Oh, it sounds like it worked. Wow, that's such an appropriate tactic.
It worked because you were in camo, not because you were in a bush.
That reminds me of one of those like really old cartoons where like Bugs Bunny would be hiding in a bush and suddenly the entire bush is moving, you know, like hiding.
No, actually it's nothing like that at all. But no, when you move in camo, you're still kind of like predator stealthy, but you're not like completely unseeable. So if you're in the bush, you can't really make that distinction when you move. So shut up, Parmi.
What would be the difference between you standing still not in the bush and you standing still in the bush?
Well, if I have to move, they won't see me in the bush.
They'll see your name.
Well, I mean, they kind of will, but shut up.
Don't people turn on the nameplates or whatever in PvP so those huge health bars show up everywhere?
Yeah.
Like above a bush, and I don't think the bush has HP.
Well, it didn't help for those horde that tried to come and take the mine, so shut up.
Can I say your character's name too? Because it's kind of pertinent to the situation.
Sure.
Okay, well, Irene's hunter's name is Albato or something like that. I don't know how do you pronounce it?
Yeah, it's Albato.
Okay, so he called her Bush Cannon Albato, like the horde were saying "oh" when she shot them.
I really miss Extifer, you guys.
I do too.
All right. Anyhow, so what else has been going on with your week besides making fun of Irene for hiding in the bush? Isn't that something you're gonna have to learn how to do in the military, like in all the camo and everything, like
hide in a bush?
Yeah. Oh wait, we're in the Air Force.
Yeah, go camo and hide in the bush.
No, well, I need to learn how to shoot and stuff, and I probably will learn that. But my MOS is like F-16 avionics, so I'm not gonna be hiding in a bush fixing a plane.
I'm Parmi. I got a 92 on the ASVAB, but I love True Blood.
That's not that high of a score. And
oh, shut up. 92
True Blood
is not
sucks.
High.
You would take it and you would get higher than that.
You're fucking full of shit. Don't have
Do
this
it.
Argument
Do
with
it.
Me.
Do
no,
it.
No, because
no, have the argument. It's great for ratings.
Oh, okay. Shut up, Parmi, you're dumb.
You smell like shit.
You win.
All right.
You're a dirty mind player.
Oh, Lord. All right, Parm, is there anything else for your week you want to share?
No.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about my week, which, funny enough, was very similar to Irene's because I also did these same raids, and I may or may not have been leading the group through said raids. So the whole deal was to be doing Barret and Hold, but we didn't have Barret and Hold at the time the raid was set to begin. And that's sometimes the problem with scheduling a raid in Barret and Hold is that you don't guarantee that your faction is going to be controlling it. So it was like, okay, well, what do we do instead? Well, let's just go to Bastion of Twilight. Screw it. Let's try one of the Cataclysm raids so that our group, who doesn't really raid a lot, can kind of get a feel for what the difficulty level is of the raids. And sure enough, we did struggle a little bit on the trash, but it was mostly kind of learning how to deal with the kind of the multiple packs of mobs literally being on top of each other. Like once we pulled the mobs the way we were supposed to and got all the crowd control down, it was fine. Like
you're welcome.
Yeah, whatever. Our our guild didn't really have a problem with the trash mobs or getting through it, you know, DPS wise or whatever, or heal tank wise. It was just kind of learning, and that's especially when our guild did no prep work for going in here. It was like we were going in here absolutely blind. I think maybe we'd had one or two people that had seen the place before, but that was it. So, you know, we did pretty good getting through all the trash. And there was even a purple that randomly dropped off the trash mob. So that was cool. So one of our healers got it. And then we got up to the boss, which was a little bit confusing. But finally, and the boss is what, Halfus, I think is his name. And if you've never fought Halfus before, he's a lot like the Sarth 3D fight to me in Wrath of the Lich King. And if you've not done that before, basically, it's like you fight four people all at once. There's the big, big boss, and then there's the little bosses. And the little bosses do auras or buffs or debuffs or whatever that will help the main boss. And it really depends on what mobs are up, kind of what order you kill things. It's like random every week, whatever. Anyway, so we just tried to kind of figure it out and try different methods of which boss do we pull first to get the debuff off the main boss and what have you. And unfortunately, we struggled a little bit. But we made more progress each time. Like, the first time we pulled it, and it was like, LOL, wipe in 10 seconds. And then the next time we survived a little longer and a little longer. And by the time we got to our last pull, before our faction took Tolbarad back, we got one of the adds down completely. But that's going to be a tough fight because you have a 5-minute enrage timer on that. And it took us a little while just to get one ad down. So there's a lot of tricks to that. You have to like kill the right ad at the right time to get the uber buff where you do 300% damage. And that's how you are able to like take 31 million hit points off the boss real quick. So it was a weird fight. What did you think of that fight, Irene?
Oh, yeah. I totally was paying attention. it was confusing. I was just kind of targeting whatever our main tank was targeting. So I don't know. Didn't seem that complicated.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just something that's going to require a little more practice. I mean, I know some guilds blew through it, but oh well. Mm-hmm. What'd you think of it, Parm? Had you done it before?
No, I haven't really raided that much because my only 85 is in our guild. But I thought it was pretty easy. They had me kicking... The one time you guys had me kicking the Shadow Nova or whatever, I didn't miss any of them, but we were still wiping just because we didn't know the fight and we didn't watch any videos or anything.
Yeah, so if we're going in there blind, I thought we did a pretty good job, so I was happy, and you know, at least we got to see the content and stuff.
You know what made me mad, Rob?
What?
That one bitch that I was supposed to trap, and she just, like, made a U-turn and, like, was like, fuck all y'all. Like, I ain't gonna fall for your shit. I'm gonna go over here so you can't trap me.
Oh, with the trash mobs?
Yeah.
Like, literally two or three packs on top of each other, and you have to, like, they all walk. They walk back and forth, so imagine, like, I don't know, like a gate opening and closing. That's kind of the pattern they make, so you have to pull them at just the right moment, so kind of sucks.
If you pull one more time, I will remove you from the raid.
Hold on. That did not happen in Bastion of Twilight.
Okay.
No, that happened later. Okay. Baron and Hull. All right. So Baron and Hull, we get in there. We're doing our thing. And, you know, morale's already a little bit, ah, boo-hoo. You know, too bad we couldn't do better progress on Bastion of Twilight. So whatever. But we get in there. We do the thing. And it took us a long time to switch from one raid to the other because we're really short on tanks in our guild that we play in. And we had to kind of really juggle some things to make it work. And we had to get somebody to tank who like never tanks. So like playing on this boss was like going to be one of the first tanking experiences, at least in a raid situation that I know of for this individual. So, you know, we're trying to be very careful and very thorough in explaining everything, even though the fight is somewhat simple in Baradin Hold. It really does, like, the tanks can really make and break that fight because they have to be able to juggle the threat. So it's a lot of pressure on someone. So, you know, we're trying to explain the fight and everything. So I'm explaining the fight, and, you know, all of a sudden, the mob just pulls. Yep, the raid monster just gets pulled. And I lost my shit because, like, I was mad because, you know, whether it was an accident or not or whatever, I was just kind of like, God damn it, I'm in the middle of trying to explain something, and this is what happens, now we're all going to wipe. So, you know, I went off, and I had a Ferrari moment, honestly. She would have been very proud. I was like, you shitbags, da-da-da-da-da, you know, and the whole thing.
I didn't even die.
Well, because you can vanish and all that stuff, and if I was smarter, I would have bubbled or whatever and maybe survived at least a couple minutes longer. But yeah, unfortunately, we wiped and, you know, it just was more time taken up. And you only have a limited amount of time when you're doing Baradin Hold, too. And then, you know, people were going AFK and saying they had to leave early and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, we only have so many limited attempts. So
you didn't sound like that.
It was a stressful situation. And you're trying to make everyone happy too. It sucks. So
it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Did you have fun?
Yeah, I did. Not as much fun as I had watching True Blood.
Of course.
Yeah. Anyhow, so that was really my week in Azeroth, other than I think what I've mentioned before. I've been working on my priest and gained quite a few levels over there on the Drendon server. And then, kind of working on my main a little bit, doing the daily fishing and cooking and other quests. I hit Exalted with the guild, too. I did enough quests where my guild reputation has actually hit Exalted. And for that, I got nothing. Because we're only like level 10 or 11, so we don't have any of the pets or anything. So I'm Exalted with a guild. Yay. That's it.
Well,
now it says champion of our guild.
Yep. That's all I get, the change in the title. Although the only people that see that title are other people in the guild. Oh, well. Anyhow, that's it for our week's Azeroth. So how about we get to some news? You ready for the news tonight?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No.
So, okay. Well, too bad. Exifer isn't here to do the news, so I'm going to fill in tonight. And it's actually been somewhat of a slow news week. There hasn't been a lot going on. But obviously, most of the news that's been happening is around the latest patch. The 4.1 patch, of course, is on the public test realm. And there have been some more notes that indicate some more tweaks that are going on with the patch. A lot of the most recent changes have to do with healers. For example, if you're a paladin healer, like me, you have the shield that you get with mastery. Well, they are going to be increasing the duration of that shield from 8 seconds up to 15 seconds, and that's a little more in line with what they're doing with the priest shields. So that's very interesting. Something to remember about paladin shields, it's not a separate spell. It's like a ghost shield that's left by your heals. It's kind of weird the way it works. They don't absorb a lot of damage, but they absorb a little bit. So maybe they're trying to make the mastery on that more useful. I don't know. Some of the other talents that are changing in the healing world, druids are going to have 100% pushback protection from damage while channeling Tranquility. So that means that the whole time they're casting that spell, it will be up and mobs won't be able to interrupt that. Priests are getting the same benefit when they channel Divine Hymn and Hymn of Hope. So a lot of changes to pushback there for healers. So that's pretty cool. Moving on to some other things that have been discovered in the public test realm patch. Burning Crusade dungeons are finally getting maps. These were found in a data mine and were posted all over Wowhead, so you can actually go see what the official maps now look like for the Burning Crusade dungeons. I don't know about you guys, but I was really missing kind of having those maps. Like, I don't know, I get really lazy. Like, I really like to have the maps, especially in dungeons I haven't run in a very long time. Whereas some dungeons are very straightforward, others, like like Steam Vaults, I think it is, or one of those in the Coilfang Reservoir I always get lost in because it's so huge. So I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I appreciate having maps.
Mm-hmm. Maps are always good.
Yep. So, and you like to run the Outland content, right?
I kind of have to.
I know. The raids are getting maps too, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, Parm?
I was going to say Irene doesn't level up because her 64 is a rogue. And if you go into Battlegrounds as a 64 rogue, you two-shot people. So I don't think she wants to level.
Well,
probably not my rogue.
If you play Warsong, which I know she does all the time, your XP gain is like the slowest out of any of the battlegrounds, except maybe Twin Peaks, which is the same deal, which I don't even think you can do at that level anyway.
No, I don't think you can. And I think they do that purposely because they know that people want to keep playing in the same bracket for Warsong Gulch, so they don't give you a lot of XP, so you don't level out of it. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know.
Perhaps. Could be. Sometimes they do things like that to get people more incentive to do one of the different battlegrounds. By the way, this weekend is Alterac Valley weekend. I know you're excited.
Oh man. Yeah. Log on right now and play.
And I can't believe some people like the 40 mans. That's so stupid.
I love the 40 mans, but you know what? Maybe you need to try healing because I think that's what makes the 40 mans even more fun. What?
I have a paladin.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
1950 in arena.
No, Parmy, you should try healing.
When was the last time you really played that paladin, though?
I think in season 7, I got to like 1950 in twos with another paladin.
So it's been a little while, you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm really good at it, is what I'm saying.
Oh, then why don't you play it anymore?
Because I hate leveling and it's stupid and dumb.
Yeah, it's the same reason I still have an 80 warrior. I just don't want to level her. Even though it's really easy now. All right. Other news going on. The Valor Point conversion and Arena Season 10 have both been confirmed now for 4.2 patch. Not the next upcoming 4.1 patch, but as we talked about last week, the Firelands raid got delayed. It will not be coming out until the 4.2 patch, and the conversion with Valor Points is going to be delayed until then too, which makes sense. The whole point behind that, in case you forgot what I'm talking about, when you're 85, you get Valor Points when you do your daily dungeon, and you get Justice Points from every boss you kill. Well, the idea was, instead of having like all these different levels of points like we had in Wrath, where you had like, I don't know, just all these different types of emblems, when they roll out a new raid, they will take the Valor Points and convert them all right into Justice Points, and then they'll take all the old gear and they'll drop what they cost, meaning they won't cost Valor anymore, they'll cost the old points, the Justice Points, and then the new gear will all be the Valor Points and the new level. So that way they're trying to keep it so there's only 2 point levels when you're at the end game, which it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I think it'll be a pretty good system. But we won't have any conversions till 4.2 when the new raid actually rolls out. But Arena Season 10, also going to be in line with that, which kind of makes sense because with that usually comes also a new tier of gear, and they don't want the PvP gear, I'm sure, to be like 20 levels ahead of the other gear, right? So,
yeah, it's mostly the weapons. Like that's why they delayed the 2200 weapons, is because they didn't want raiders to feel like they had to be good at PvP to keep competitive.
Gotcha. And that was all confirmed in a blue post earlier this week. So that's that. Also, what I found interesting, Blizzard is doing a poll of the users right now. You know how Blizzard sometimes does these polls on their website, and they basically amount to like forum polls, you know,
long,
kind of
hard polls.
What's that?
Long, hard pulls.
No, they're not very difficult pulls.
But
the latest one that they were doing was on add-ons, which, you know, if you've been playing WoW for any length of time, you've probably tried out an add-on or two. And you sometimes notice that Blizzard likes to take some of the really good ideas and actually implement them into the game. So it's kind of interesting that they're polling users on add-ons. There's been a lot of talk before. I know we've talked on Horde House before about what could Blizzard possibly be doing with add-ons. And one of the things that they've been, the idea that's been thrown out there is that maybe they're going to do some type of centralized store for the add-ons. And when I say store, I mean like it's free or whatever. But, you know, like a lot of people have been having problems with Curse because of Trojans and things that show up in that. Why not have Blizzard take that on officially? So sometimes when Blizzard does a poll like this, people wonder, what are they thinking about doing with the add-ons? Are they going to be adding more or what? But honestly, one of the things I found most fascinating about the poll is that 8% of WoW players say they don't use any add-ons at all. At least the people that took the poll. 8% don't use any add-ons at all. That number actually seemed a little low to me. I would think there'd be more people that just say they're too lazy to install add-ons or what have you, or they don't play the game enough. So maybe they aren't the same type of people that would take the poll. I don't know. But yeah, only 8% of users don't use any add-ons at all. Do you guys use add-ons?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I have to.
You have to?
Yeah, I didn't use any for the longest time. And then it was like, oh, Irene, if you want to raid with us, you have to get DBM and Omen and all this other stupid shit and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, fine.
Yeah, DBM is kind of an important one. But anyhow, I guess that will take us into the topic of the week, because that's really it for the news. So let's get into the topic of the week, and it's about add-ons. So I'll ask you guys, remember, we always like your feedback on the topic of the week. You can send us an email, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a tweet on Twitter, twitter.com/hordehouse. And the topic of the week this week, what add-on does Blizzard need to steal? Borrow, of course, for the main UI already. Blizzard has borrowed some ideas from add-ons before, like the new raid interface, very similar to Grid, kind of, sort of. DBM, elements of that have shown up in the game as well, like you get more announcements about what bosses are doing. So it's just a matter of time before Blizzard borrows your favorite add-on and puts it in the game. So what add-on do they need to implement in the game next? Parm, I'll start with you. What do you think? What add-on do they need to put in the game?
It's kind of already in the game, but it's so half-assed. I think they need a better version of Gladius, because they already put in the two little frames on the side, but they're such crap compared to the actual add-on.
And for those
who just
for those who don't know what the add-on is, tell us a little bit about what it does.
Okay, Gladius is an add-on that when you go into Arena, it shows the entire enemy team in, like, a little box. And it has their names and a cast bar and any debuffs on them. And it also, now it shows diminishing returns. So, like, if you cast a sheep, it'll show, oh, it's going to be half duration for this long next to it. It shows, like, when the enemy trinkets and how long the cooldown on their trinket is. It's basically like a status of the enemy team in Arena and
yeah,
what you can do to them.
It's really useful. You kind of made me install that to do PvP Arena, and it was really helpful. Like, I really like being able to see the cooldowns on people's trinkets and things like that. It kind of lets you know better, like, when a good time to stun them is and so on. So I like that. Very cool. Irene, what about you? Is there an add-on, even though you seem to not like them, is there one that you've come across that you think Blizzard needs to borrow?
Well, it seems like almost all raiding guilds, at least the ones that I've encountered, always want you to get DBM and Omen, and sometimes you have to get, what is it, EPGP or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. So they should really, I mean, I know that they have some of the elements for it, but they may as well just incorporate those full add-ons, like the way that they are, into the game. Because obviously what they have in the game isn't sufficient for the players. So
I can see that. Absolutely. They've incorporated elements of DBM, but it seems like DBM is still so useful. And a lot of that is because some of the marks that it changes and so forth. And I don't know, I guess WoW's kind of done a little bit of that. Like the thing I'm thinking of most of is that one boss in Heroic Deadmines, the Reaper or whatever it's called, that will put the little arrow over your head on who he's going to charge. That's like the closest thing we've seen. But there's still some fights where that sort of stuff is important and needs to be called out where it's not. So yeah, maybe they need to see what DBM is doing. And then Omen, doesn't the game show you like your threat percentage on the mob? But it's really tiny, like in the window, and you don't, like, Omen will show you bar graphs and everything. Like, it's a real good visual as to, like, where you are threat-wise, as opposed to just a number.
Yeah, and it actually, Omen shows you your threat compared to other people, whereas the built-in threat meter in WoW just shows your threat on the target. So right. It doesn't say where you are as opposed to other people. So
maybe it's not so much that they need to borrow the idea. They just need to borrow the quality, I guess, of the mod or the level of it. But I guess just to be devil's advocate for a minute, does maybe DBM make raiding easier than Blizzard intends? Maybe they didn't want people to have it call things out so easy.
Go ahead, Parmy.
Oh, I was going to say I've raided with you guys without DBM on before. It's not that bad if you know what you're doing.
As he buffs his nails and is like, if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm watching True Blood.
But that's the key thing, though, is that you got to know what you're doing. And usually that involves doing the boss a couple times previously, probably with DBM on. I agree. I kind of tune out the DBM notifications on bosses that we've done a million times. But on other ones, I don't know. It's still kind of important.
You're going to have to expect 10 people to know what they're doing absolutely with no kind of like indication of what they need to do next or anything. Mm-hmm. And that never happens. I mean, hello. At least not in our guild.
No, I don't think it's that easy for anyone, honestly. Well, I mean,
our guild is dumb and they're full of dumb people and they don't know what they're dumb doing.
They all listen to the show and you're going to get G-kicked. All right. Mm-hmm. As far as add-on, I think Blizzard needs to steal. I'm going for something that I find useful that maybe a lot of people don't like. It's not like maybe high up on the list like Omen or DBM. But honestly, I use this add-on called Sell-O-Matic that is awesome because all you do is you click the button once and it sells all your trash to the vendor. And it's just a little thing like that that honestly I think Blizzard should just put in the damn game because who uses gray items for anything ever? They just take up bag space until you get to turn them in and sell them for money. Like they're not even craftables or anything like that. So I honestly think like maybe once in a while you have a weapon or a piece of armor that maybe somebody would want for roleplay purposes, I guess. Maybe the look of it, I don't know. But like that is a very small percentage, I would think, of people that would just want to click an easy button and sell everything in their inventory automatically. I don't know.
Well, I can think of one, but it's only like obviously the exception rather than the rule. Like low level toons that need shoulders. There right. are gray shoulders that people equip because there's no other regular shoulders that they can equip at that level. So, but other than that, I can't think of anything else.
And that makes sense. That does make sense. So maybe the button just wouldn't sell anything that you have equipped, and you know, just make it easy. Or don't use the button if you're worried about it, you know, or have it enabled only at a certain level. I don't know. But I really like being able to just kind of click the button and then it frees up all the space in my bag. So,
you know what else they should put into coordinates?
Oh, that's right. Those aren't in the main interface already, huh?
Yeah, that's, and all the programming is there for it, because I've had a friend run a private server before and you can teleport to coordinates. Mm-hmm. They just haven't put it in the UI for some reason.
That's true, because a lot of a lot of people kind of talking about quests and so forth and sharing information want the coordinates. And it's not like Blizzard didn't build the quest helper style thing into the game, a little while ago during Wrath. So kind of no reason why they couldn't put coordinates in, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy, I would think, too. I'm not a programmer or anything, but it just seems like something really simple.
If the add-on people can do it, it must be doable, right?
So yeah.
All right, well, let's get to some tweets and some emails. We'll start off with some emails, and we're going to start off with an email tonight that is a follow-up to the topic of the week last week, which had to do with the Looking for Guild feature and what features they should put in that. And the first email from Flacco Jones, who I'm sure is very sad that Extifer is not here tonight, but hopefully still a fan of Horde House. The new Looking for Guild feature should easily allow the guild you're applying to inspect other characters of your choosing. In case the applicant wants to show that they have more raiding experience on a past character as opposed to the one they are applying with. Maybe a transfer history as well, so the guild doesn't get shady people who jump from guild to guild or server to server, robbing people. I like the idea of a history. That's a pretty good idea. No, it's a good point. You got all these people.
I remember, like, do you remember I said I robbed guild banks?
Yeah, I remember that.
That's not a good idea to put that in the game. Then I can't rob guild banks.
You just won't be able to do that anymore. Well, they need to put it in there to stop people like you from robbing innocent guilds who don't deserve it. Or just the gold farmers that do it. You know?
I like gold farmers. They're Asian.
Do you really, or are you just saying that to troll?
I don't know. Matt likes gold farmers.
All right. Can I move on? Let me talk about the other part of the email about inspecting characters you're choosing. You know, this kind of ties back to me about having bind on account achievements or I guess more items that can kind of go cross server, but specifically the achievements, which Blizzard has kind of said, yeah, we want to put that in the game someday, but it's not exactly a high priority right now. Like, if you could have those achievements that go across the whole account, it would be really easy to see what somebody's raiding experience is, because, you know, you get basic achievements just for downing bosses or raids or whatever. So, I mean, you wouldn't even have to necessarily inspect a full character, because the only thing I can think of, the only kind of downside I could see to that idea is that maybe you don't want everybody to know who all your characters are. So it would have to be very specific about how you would, like, show what character to the person. And I think that might be too intricate with the programming. I would think something could easiest be done just by having the bind on account accomplishments or account achievements. I don't know.
Should require a video of you walking it out so they can see it. So they can see if your style fits their guild, you know? Just like walk it out.
A walk-off?
No.
Like, I need you to walk this runway.
Yeah, and see your sassiness so I can see if you fit well.
Great idea, Parmy.
So they need to put a casting couch into WoW?
Yeah, or like a casting stripper chair so you have to give me a lap dance.
That is what a casting couch is, duh.
Oh.
No, a casting couch is what you sit on to watch True Blood. All right.
Good one, Rom.
Thank you. Moving on to another email. This one's from Holly. Oh, this will be a good one for Parm. I'm excited. All right, this email's from Holly.
So is Parmy.
All right, I was reading about more people complaining about PvP realms and what could be done to sort out griefing of low levels. I think maybe a good way to sort it out would be to have guards randomly spawn in a zone in areas that have low levels so that the griefers would never know where the attack would be coming from. They do have high-level guards in low-level areas, but they're all, you know, everybody kind of knows where they are. Do they need these guards to maybe walk around more, maybe have a bigger path that they patrol, or just randomly show up out of thin air, maybe? I mean, I don't play on PvP realms as much, but what would you guys think?
Everyone who plays on a PvP realm started on a PvP realm because they like PvP, and guards didn't used to be so abundant when the game first started, so leveling on a PvP server sucked pretty hard. But once you got to max level, you could actually like go out into the world and fight other people. And now there are guards in cities and guards in like neutral zones and guards just on the road walking up and down. And it completely destroyed world PvP. So you can't just go out and fight people from your server anymore. You have to like queue for battlegrounds, and that's kind of lame. So the less guards, the better, I think. You should know what you're doing when you roll on a PvP server.
Well, let me continue the email here. Of course, the best defense is to be in a guild and bring your friends or level an alt. Personally, I was being griefed in Outlands at Thralmar on my level 62 Orc Hunter by a level 85 Holy Dwarf Paladin. After he killed me 6 times, despite repeated attempts for me to get away and killing all of the NPCs so I couldn't turn in my quests, it was on. I logged my level 85 Blood Elf Prot Pally, and what ensued was an epic 15 to 20 minute battle. I killed him 3 times, and he killed me 3 times, I think, but the point was I killed him enough times to convince him that it wasn't worth the trouble to keep attacking Thralmar. It was awesome because we both had the same saves, and with me being Prot, I didn't have a lot of damage, neither did he being Holy, and since I'm built to take massive amounts of damage, and he was built to heal massive amounts of damage, it was a crazy fight. When I finally drove him off, it felt wonderful, and I was finally able to pick up my hunter and go back to questing. I think that's, I think that story kind of sums up why people want to do the PvP realms, is that, you know, some of us on PvE realms, how many times have you just ran circles around Dalaran, or now it's Stormwind, I guess, you know, just like, you're kind of like, I don't really have anything to do right now, you know, at least
that
in a
totally
PvP realm.
That should be on the statistics page, you know, like, how many times have you killed Hogger?
Oh,
laps
right.
Around Dalaran.
Laps around Dalaran. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Irene, you're really into PvP. Have you ever tried on a PvP server? What do you think of the story that's being told here?
I have played on a PvP server before. I was detracted from it because of the whole, like, you know, one-shot ganking thing. I don't know. I mean, I can understand people, you know, knowing what they're doing when they roll on a server and expecting to be ganked, but it's kind of ridiculous if you're just constantly being ganked over and over, and it's like, you know, how are you supposed to get anything done? So I think it would be a lot more fun if the playing ground were like leveled, the playing field were leveled a little bit, and if they made it so that like higher level toons couldn't necessarily, you know, roll up on lower level toons and gank them, but if they kind of incorporated some way for them to fight aside from one-on-one, I guess it would be kind of more like world PvP, where they use, like, I don't know, like, maybe they have, like, a set of guns over here, and they, like, shoot each other or something like that. I don't know, but something aside from one-on-one PvP. I don't know.
They used to have a deterrent in when the game was pretty new still, with the old honor system. Actually, like the very first one where you ranked up by killing a certain amount of people and every Tuesday it would roll over. But they used to have dishonorable kills.
I remember those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember those. Because
so
they were permanent.
Someone,
if you killed, yeah. It was permanent, your dishonorable kills.
If you killed someone like 5 levels under you or something like that, you would get a dishonorable kill and it would kind of hurt your progression through the ranks. So if they just like put back dishonorable kills where you lose like a good chunk of your honor when you kill someone that's a low level, I think that would kind of help with the ganking, because usually the people that, I'm just stereotyping right now, but usually the people who gank low levels aren't that great. Like, I've never had someone gank me where I haven't been able to log over to my main and kill them a whole bunch of times.
They're ganking low levels because they can't pick on people their own size.
Yeah, like, I know, I understand that not everyone has a maximum level character, but I don't know. With the dishonorable kills, you wouldn't have to have one.
One idea I'd thought of when I was thinking about this topic before on a PvP realm, because I played very briefly on one, but my dumbass was leveling a holy priest on a PvP realm, and yeah, that didn't go over very well. But anyway, I had to try it once. But I was thinking, like, what if maybe you got killed by somebody who's X number levels higher than you? Maybe you could get a buff when you resurrect that would be like 30 seconds you're invulnerable. And then, like, if it happens again, then it's a minute you're invulnerable. And then, like, a minute 30 seconds or something like that. Where so that way, at least, you know, can you get picked on and can you still die? And do you need to be careful? Yes. But can you get picked on over and over and over again? No. Because if you had, like, a buff for a minute or two that made you invulnerable, you could run to the nearest town and they wouldn't be able to pick on you anymore. Like, I don't know, what would you guys think about an idea like that? Is that ruining the fun, or?
No, I think that's pretty valid. Or you could, like, back to kind of the consequences of killing someone at a lower level, instead of putting a buff on you, I could put a huge debuff on the other guy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe once a guy kills somebody that's a much lower level, they drop to that level for like 5 minutes or something. That would be kind of funny. Although I think that would drive people crazy.
Give them res sickness and make them walk around naked and then teleport them to the middle of Jaina's house and make them listen to her cry for
exactly.
20 minutes.
There you go, exactly.
Arthas, I love you. You have a big penis.
That was accurate.
I know.
That's a great punishment, I think, is that anybody who just repeatedly ganks on low-level players should have to listen to Jaina for a half hour.
Do you think Death your stories. Knights, you think Death Knights can get it up because they're dead and stuff?
I think that they're already stiff because they're dead.
Like rigor mortis?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that it would it always be stiff, though, because then they would have to have, like, a hole in their plate.
Why? They couldn't just, like, tape it up onto their body? Like, you
I
know,
guess so,
have it up?
What if it was just, like, a raging hard-on?
What do you mean a raging hard-on? How is that different from a regular hard-on?
It fascinates me that Irene is more into this conversation than she was about her week in Azeroth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I roll.
I wonder how the people in True Blood get hard. Because they're dead.
Moving on. Let me finish the email from Holly here.
When a vampire sucks a dick, does he suck the blood from, or she, I guess, suck the blood from the dick too, or is it just normal?
Well, that would like make it soft and kind of defeat the purpose of being hard in the first place.
Yeah, but they would get a lot of blood from it because there's a lot of...
Well, if it was Rob, they would only get like an inch of blood.
All right, knock it off.
An inch of blood.
Yeah, that's a valid measurement.
An inch of blood, really. Really. And you got... What was your score again on that exam? All right.
What?
Nothing. Holly finishes the email here. I really hope they don't do away with PvP realms because it also builds a sense of community that seems absent in PvE servers. If you put out a cry for help and someone is around to see it, generally I found they will respond. On several occasions, I've been saved by a level 85 who happened to be in the area. How do you guys feel about PvP realms and the griefing situation? Oops, I guess we already kind of answered the question, but that email was from Holly. Thank you,
Yay.
Holly.
Yay.
We have a couple emails from Salacious Pop. You ready for this?
Yeah.
No.
Right. Just wanted to throw in an idea over the recent flailing over a possible third spec. This was in the news last week, was that folks were talking about how Blizzard was thinking about adding a third spec, but like not now. Anyhow, I feel that it would be near impossible for a hybrid class to manage all three specs completely without one being extremely neglected. The logistics of it for gear, like bag space, would be a nightmare. I realize that mages and warlocks probably don't care, since it's all the same gear, but there are too many classes where the itemization spread would be too much to maintain. Blizzard doesn't want to create yet another opportunity for a pug to hold a group back because they switch to a third spec they barely touch due to an emergency. My idea is make a third spec that is PvP only, meaning that while you're in it, you're flagged PvP and cannot enter raids or five-mans. Battlegrounds or dueling would be fine, obviously. Yes, the people who loathe PvP would be butthurt, but hey, you're already given two PvE specs. If you really want to tank and heals and DPS, roll another tune and or suck it up. LOL, bye. Salacious Pop. What do you think about a third flagged for PvP all the time spec? See, we just had a discussion, though, on PvP realms, and so, like, it wouldn't even do anything over there.
Well, he said it wouldn't let you enter raids and stuff, though.
Okay, well, okay, good point. True.
I'm not a fan of it because recently I've been, you know, getting into dueling other people, and I don't want to be flagged for PvP if I'm dueling, because if someone else from the opposite faction is also flagged for PvP, or even if they're not, they can just roll up and gank you when you're at one health after you've dueled. So I kind of don't like that aspect. Also, I don't really think it's necessary to have you flagged for PvP the whole time if you have that spec on. I don't understand why that would be necessary.
You know the solution to that, right, is don't lose duels.
Oh, okay. I should just be farmy now. Never
or
lose.
Win duels against hunters in your guild 100% to zero a bunch of times in a row.
Okay, I'll get right on that.
Okay.
I'm going to just change my name to Parm.
Okay.
So you're not too much of a fan of this idea. Like, in theory, I want to like the idea of a third spec, especially for PvP. I think a lot of folks that do PvE stuff who have kind of the dual spec for whatever needs they have in PvE would like to have a third PvP-only spec to play with. But yeah, it just seems too hard to implement it and force people to only use it in PvP. Like, I think the only way you could really truly do it is to have certain talents not be available in the third spec. And that would just be a mess, I think.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Army. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say you could have it default to that spec as soon as you enter a battleground or arena.
That could be, but then what about dueling? Because maybe they need to have something more formal for dueling.
The game is not balanced around one-on-one at all. You ever watch a rogue fight a frost mage?
Well, that's true, because me as a holy pally, I can't duel. Like, well, I'm not, I should take that back. If I spec'd better into shock it and stuff, I could probably do it. But like, as I am right now, I'm kind of more there to support other people. Like, on my own, I'm more about just living a long time. That's really all I can do. Like, yeah. I've dueled Irene and it's always going to be a losing battle, but it's more about how long does it take her to kill me?
About like 10 minutes. My question is, why does Blizzard continue to, number one, limit the amount of specs that you have, and number two, charge you for it? What are they trying to deter players from doing by implementing that?
Yeah, like, you should just be able to change it whenever you want. Just keep in the right-clicking talents off.
It should just be like the equipment manager thing, like have your specs all, you know, laid out and just switch to whichever one whenever you want.
I kind of think their fear is making raids too situational and having like raid leaders and so forth require certain specs for certain bosses and so forth. Like, I think that's where their fear lies. It has to do with what the high level guilds will kind of force players to do. I really feel like that's part of it, is that they don't want people to have three situational specs for three different bosses in a raid night, if that makes sense.
The high-level guilds are willing to bring 18 druids to a 25-man, so I don't really think they should give a shit.
Okay. Well, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, that's always kind of puzzled me, so...
But at the same time, then why not just roll another character? I mean, Salacious Pop does end the email with, you know, if you want more PvE specs, suck it up and roll another tune.
Well, because maybe you don't want to level from 1 to 85 again. Maybe you just want to play your one character the whole time.
It's easier now than it's ever been to level to 85.
Okay, that's fine. It still takes time to do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and you don't have the same gear.
But you've done it twice with a hunter.
No, I haven't.
And with a warlock.
Yeah, and so like in the level 60s with four other tunes. Shut up. Okay. So, I mean, like, I can understand, you know, wanting to stay on one tune, you know, like, why bother making another tune? Why go through all of that crap when you can just as easily do it on one tune? Is what I'm saying. And
that's kind of what gets at me. Like, I wouldn't mind leveling a character if it was fun. Like, it's not difficult at all, and after you do it the first time, you pretty much know how to do it fast, and it's just turns into like a vision test or something. Like, see
so
if you
don't
have
think
the
Cataclysm
ability
fixed that at all. You don't think Cataclysm, like in reforming the whole leveling 1 to 60 experience, helped that at all?
It helped it the first time through, and it's great. It's way better than it used to be, but after you do it the first time, it's still the same shit you've done before.
And here's the other thing. You guys keep giving me shit about rolling two hunters. Imagine how ridiculous that would be on one server, having two separate hunters. It's like, what? Why? You're retarded. So, I mean, I don't know. It makes sense to me to just do away with the limited, you know, specking system that they have already. I don't know.
All right. Well, if you guys have thoughts on this out there, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Meanwhile, I'm going to read one more email. It's another email from Salacious Pop. And usually I don't do two emails from the same person in a night, but we didn't get a lot of emails this week. Like, I'm reading every single email we got this week. So fill up our mailbag, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com. Another email from Salacious Pop. This has been a topic on Horde House for a few weeks now, and I feel there's still a possible problem with this that no one has brought up yet. Blizzard has fixed the issue of tanks charging 200 gold in trade auto-queue strangers into a dungeon, then dropping groups so that they get the first next available tank that comes along. And that's good. I'm also okay with the idea of being able to like or plus a pug. You know, we've talked about that on the show before. Like, if the Blizzard wants to steal Facebook ideas, they should steal the like button for pugs. Mm-hmm. But not being able to rate negatively. Being able to vote people down leaves everyone wide open to trolling or griefing. Right, Parm?
Huh?
Nothing.
Never do that.
My concern is that if people are able to view their own ratings in-game or on the armory in real time, a tanks or heals could easily go, like me now or I won't pull or heal, and then sit there and drop if it doesn't happen. Maybe I'm really cynical or pessimistic, but it's super easy to imagine people doing this.
Once it's not real time, though. You have to log out for armory to take effect.
Oh, that's true. You do. So, I mean, maybe that's the answer right there, is that armory doesn't update until you log out, or that the likes don't show up until you leave the dungeon, maybe. But Salacious Pop has ideas here at the end of the email. One solution would be that people can't see their upvotes for 24 hours, or upvotes don't cash out at all until after the instance is over. So if you drop, you lose them. As to when the voting would appear over the course of the instance, I got nothing, since I think most people would be inclined to just close any pop-ups that came up without reading them. You can't force people to rank up, even awesome players, even if it would be beneficial to looking for group as a whole. I think, and that's the email signed Salacious Pop, I think that it would be useful and people would use it if somehow liking a player makes it more likely that you'll get paired with that player again. I would use the like button if that happened.
Like a preferred player.
Exactly.
On the Xbox.
Yeah, I guess kind of like that idea. So that, yeah, because Xbox, oh my gosh, you think pugs are bad in WoW? Try playing some games on Xbox Live, because there's some real winners over there, right? But once in a while you get some good people, and yeah, you mark them a preferred player and you're likely to get them in a matchup in the future. And maybe they need something like that. Or maybe the incentive needs to be that, like, if you get liked by so many people, you kind of get to cut in line in the queue. Like, let's say you've got some DPS that are waiting to run, and then maybe this healer queues up who has clicked like on one of the DPS before. Maybe the DPS will then get to cut to where the healer is in line. Like, I don't know, from a programming and logistics standpoint, I have no idea how you figure this out. It just makes sense in my head for some reason. Like, that they would suddenly partner up, and then the DPS get to cut in line, because there's that like relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah, kind of. But I think that would mess up the queue times for one. And
yeah, I would.
And people that don't play as much but are still likable people wouldn't have as many likes just because they don't play that often.
Right.
So you could be like the worst tank ever and get like one like out of every 10 because it's a pity like. And if you play 10 times more than the other guy, you're still going to have the same amount.
It could be a percentage.
It like, could be.
Out
yeah.
of the number that you run. Also, why don't they just put the like system after you beat the last boss? Or I guess they couldn't do that, because what if someone has to like leave or something?
I think you should just at any time in the instance be able to right-click on a player and just click like this player. And then, or whatever they decide to call it. You know, we keep calling it like because that's what Facebook says. And that, it could really be that simple, you know?
They should just add real ID dungeons, because I have so many real ID friends that I just want to play with that are on other servers.
That's really not a bad idea. I really wish I could queue with people cross server, but I think it's probably just a programming nightmare. I mean, from the server standpoint and everything, it's probably maybe I could see it maybe being done in a battle group a lot sooner than it could game wide.
They have done that. Actually, I was just about to say that they recently put a bunch of battle groups, not for arenas, but just for battlegrounds. They merged like 3 or 4 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we get people from servers that we wouldn't have previously gotten people.
Yeah, but, that's true. I didn't notice that.
And you can send tells to people through Real ID. I know it's probably a separate server or something, but I think the ability to connect to servers even through the internet is there, and they just need to implement it.
All right. Well, that's it for the emails. Again, if you want to send us emails, mailbag, I'm sorry, wrong show, hordehousepodcast@gmail.com is the email address for that. If you want to send them to the other show, it's mailbag@orangelaunchradio.com, but that would be the wrong show. Anyhow, going to the Twitter at twitter.com/hordehouse. Not a lot of tweets this week, but of course, I always like reading Peeker Uno, who live blogs the show. Another person jumping in there, Peeker Uno, had mentioned during the show, yep, WoW's been 3D for ages. I've seen it at Tokyo Game Show and Cataclysm launch. Also, remember Project Lore? They had 3D monitors. Last week we were talking about WoW, and I just made this offhanded comment, like, when do you guys think WoW's going to go 3D? Not realizing that I guess it's been 3D for some time. It's just how many people actually use those 3D monitors, like in their houses and stuff. So I just don't think it's something you hear about an awful lot. So I don't know. Would you guys play WoW in 3D since you weren't on last week's show? What do you think of WoW in 3D? No?
No.
I'd go ahead, Parm.
If it wasn't shitty 3D like the Virtual Boy and I didn't have to wear glasses all the time, then maybe.
Out of curiosity, Irene, what do you think of the 3DS? Like, are you into that, or do you think that's kind of a dopey idea?
I actually haven't really watched any videos on it or have seen it in person or anything, so I can't really comment on it substantially or anything. I mean, it sounds like a pretty cool idea, mm-hmm. I guess. I'd give it a try.
Okay.
What do you guys think of Pokemon Black and White?
It's stupid because it's Pokemon.
I'm actually kind of surprised I didn't buy it because I do usually buy the new Pokemon games and I'll play them for an hour and then I'll be like, why am I playing Pokemon?
And we're done with Pokemon talk. Next topic.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are. Shut up.
Prepare for trouble.
The target age for Pokemon when it came out, okay?
But I still watched it.
I know, right. You're like 60, right?
Shut up. All right, moving on to other tweets. Flacco Jones tweets us saying that I messed up in talking about Drendon last week when we announced the guild on the Drendon server. I guess wowwiki.com does still say that it's full of bad players, and I said on the show that it didn't. I must have been reading Wowpedia. You know how there's this whole, now there's Wowpedia and Wowwiki? Like, I must have just been reading the wrong one. I don't know. But yeah, I'm looking at WoW Wiki right now, and it still does say, Drendon is ranked 112 amongst U.S. servers. It is widely known for its high volume of bad players, as the majority of the population migrated elsewhere when free transfers were offered. Endgame rating is limited to 1 or 2 guild per faction, while 1 or fewer can be expected to finish released content before the next expansion. Yay, Drendon. Yay. Home of the official server, Guild of Hordehouse. Yay.
Our server is like almost as bad as that.
Mentioned that last week on the show that when I looked at Guildox, like the rankings there, the server I normally play on with my friends, like my real life guild, I guess you could say, is ranked lower than Drendon. So it's not as bad as you guys think.
Our server is snooty, uptight prick guild didn't even down Hallie and Heroic before Kata came out.
All right.
That's not going to stop them from bragging, though.
Let me move on. Going on to Flacco Jones, who also tweeted us about leveling in the Horde House Guild. Leveled a Pally to 10 and a Warlock to 12 in the Horde House Guild. Goblin equals awesome quests, slow leveling. Tauren equals awful quests, fast leveling. So odd. You know what's funny? I've also leveled a Goblin and a Tauren recently, and I really agree with that, is that the Goblin experience is really fun, but it's really slow. It takes some time to get through, whereas the Tauren, like, they didn't really change the starting zone a whole lot. Well, I mean, they did. They added, like, a new little town, and, you know, the whole starting area is very different, but I still feel like it was a lot of running from place to place. Run, run, run. But some of the really bad quests, like the one where you escort the ghost wolf, they did change that so that it moves a lot faster. But yeah, the goblin stuff was much more interesting. But maybe that's just because I'd done the Torin thing before. I don't know.
Did they change it at all?
Yeah, they some of the quests are different and so on. But otherwise, I would say it's about 80% the same. But there's some very noticeable differences. And most of that is that first little area before mm-hmm. you go out into the rest of Mulgore. That changed a lot.
That's good, because they had a lot of like running up hills and going to a water well and stuff that
took
forever.
Still have some, like, you still have to cleanse the water wells and a lot of that stuff. But some of the really bad things, like escorting the ghost wolf, like I said, and some of the other things that involve travel, you can like you will turn into a bird and fly there, or you turn into the wolf and run there. You know, they sped up some of that stuff a little bit, so it's more bearable. The other weird thing that caught me off guard is that you can't just run from Mulgore to Orgrimmar like you used to be able to, because Southern Barrens, you're not going to get through without corpse rezzing like a million times. So you really have to sit there and wait for the new airship that lands in Thunderbluff, or Zeppelin, or whatever they're called. So, yeah, a little weird, because Mulgore is kind of isolated, because, you know, the only zone that attaches to Mulgore is Southern Barrens, but Southern Barrens is like a level 30 zone now. So you really, I was a little bit ahead of the curve, I think, because my questing didn't take me to Orgrimmar. I just wanted to get over there for everything that's over there. And I think I was trying to meet up with Irene so we could fund the guild charter and whatever. So, yeah, I skipped all the questing. But at some point, you must have to go over there. And then your level 10 zones are Northern Barrens or Ashara. Like, I did some questing in Ashara on my new priest just to see what was different. And it was cool. Like, I actually found the Ashara quest interesting, which I couldn't say in Vanilla WoW. And it's still kind of a pretty zone, and I like some of the goblin stuff they did to it. So, yeah, Ashara's cool.
Ashara used to be, like, tied for worst zone ever.
With Desolus, right?
I never questioned Desolus ever.
I don't think Desolus, and I did a little bit of Desolus on my Warlock, and I gotta be honest, wasn't feeling it at all. Like, I wasn't into it.
It still sucks.
I didn't play super far enough into it.
Maybe it's like a troll zone. Like, they put that in there just to be like, let's make people suffer through this.
Well, you know what's interesting is that this was a topic that was brought up at Game Developers Conference that happened over the weekend. And one of the talks that was being done was one of the developers of WoW. And he was talking about zones that were done really well and zones that admittedly were not done very well in Cataclysm. And the zone that he cited for not being done well was Desolus. That I guess he felt that the revamp of Desolus could have been better. And a lot of that was that they did too much change to Desolus. Because, you know, the middle of Desolus now is like this giant oasis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they really kind of changed what Desolus was, which was a desolate place, you know, which granted was what a lot of people hated about it. But, like, the Barrens is kind of desolate, too. And I don't know, like, especially Southern Barrens is really interesting now, and Northern Barrens is okay, too. I haven't leveled a lot there, but, you know, they changed them for the better.
Have either of you done the new Thousand Needles?
No, I haven't gotten there yet.
I like the old one pretty well.
Really?
I thought it was all right.
I didn't like old Thousand Needles at all.
I just liked, there were a lot of Star Wars references, and it was kind of funny to see the goblin and the gnome fight a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I haven't done the new one yet.
All right. Well, that does it for the tweets. So if you want to send us some tweets, be sure to follow us on Twitter. Twitter.com/Hordehouse is where you can find us. And with that, we get towards the end of our show. There's not a lot else to talk about tonight, unless Irene might be full of topic ideas. You want to talk about something else, Irene? Anything that's on your mind?
Mm-mm.
No? No, you want to go? You want to end this?
I don't care if we go or not. Right.
Let's stay and talk about True Blood some more.
Oh, okay. My God. So there's these vampires, and
all
when
they
bite your dick,
each.
It gushes blood.
On second thought, let's call
Unless
it a night.
It's Rob.
an inch of blood.
Parm, just remember that. An inch of blood. That should be a new guild name. See, that could have been the perfect guild name, an inch of blood. All right.
I told you to name the guild Parm is Awesome. You said no.
Yeah, because it's an untrue statement. Oh.
Everyone would have joined that guild, including people that have never seen this show, because they know it's true.
All right. Ones that have never seen this show.
Yeah, this audio show.
Those that haven't watched the radio show, yeah.
Yes.
All right. Let's go around and get everybody's final thoughts. Thank you guys for being here tonight. I really appreciate you guys subbing, especially on last minute notice, especially you, Parm. You literally asked this morning, so I really appreciate you guys stepping in. Obviously, we really hope Extrovert feels better. We miss him. I don't know why it was crazy to do the show without him, but you know, when you don't do a show, then everybody's like, where's Horde House this week? Did they quit? So we wanted to get something out there. So I appreciate you guys filling in. So Irene, I'll start with you. Thanks for being here. And do you have any final thoughts for us tonight?
Parmy should go first.
Okay, Parmy, thank you for being here tonight. Do you have any final thoughts?
You know when people in those nature shows bite grubs and it just kind of squirts out the end?
Yeah.
I wonder if biting a penis off is like that.
Thank you for that thought. Irene, now will you give us your final thought?
Yeah, this one is for Essex. Honey badger don't give a shit.
And my final thought is I'm drinking black cherry cola, and it's really good. Not ginger ale, Parm.
Oh, okay. Ginger. Are you drinking True Blood?
No, black cherry was what I said, actually. Okay.
Oh, racist.
All right. That's going to do it for the show tonight. Thank you guys very much. If you want to come play with us, join our guild. Again, we are Best Lil Horde House on Drendon. Send Babs Johnson or Death Ears a tell if you want to join the guild. And the only rule there is don't be a dick. If you like this show, help spread the word. Tell a friend about the show. Listen to my other show, Orange Lounge Radio, that's on Sunday nights, orangeloungeradio.com. And that's really all I can think of. So good night, everybody. See you next week. Hopefully, Exifer's back. Get better soon, Exifer. Hope you can see you again soon. Bye.